Great morning, everyone, and welcome to yet another episode of Thank God for Monday. I'm Brother Greg Cellini of the Franciscan Brothers of Brooklyn and the Office of Mission, Ministry, and Interfaith Dialogue at St. Francis College in beautiful Brooklyn, New York. My great pleasure to be back again with you today. The purpose of our show, Thank God for Monday, is to inspire you, our audience, to take personal responsibility for your professional satisfaction. We want to provide you hope, healing, and peace in these unprecedented, turbulent, uncertain times. Motivate you to search deep inside yourself in the quest for fulfillment. Listeners, it's really up to you as I utilize the information we provide today. Take full accountability for the decisions you make and a resulting outcome. The goals of our show, Thank God for Monday, is to introduce role models of people who take very bold steps in their work lives. This is a very unique time in our workplace and world when being your absolute best has never been more important. And as such, we are honored today to have with us a very, very special guest. Her name is Jessica Dennehy. Jessica is a best-selling author, journalist, speaker, and entrepreneur known for her inspiring work in helping individuals find success and happiness by putting themselves first. A former Wall Street regulator, Jessica started her entrepreneurial journey 11 years ago when she opened a brand of luxury barbershops called Mad Men. Through her company, Pivot and Slay Consulting, Jessica offers career concierge services that empower entrepreneurs to get selfish and step into their power. Through mentoring, she helps clients create an aligned life that includes massive business growth and professional success. Her latest book, Selfish is a Superpower, will be released very soon. Great morning and welcome to Thank God for Monday, Jessica.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here. I love Mondays.
The honor is all ours. Kindly share with the listeners and me from where you're speaking this morning.
I'm in Long Island, New York.
Isn't that something? Just down the road from beautiful Brooklyn, we have a high school. Our brothers run St. Anthony's High School in South Huntington. Don't know if you've heard of it or if you're near there at all.
I've heard of it.
Terrific, terrific. Jessica, sadly, we've only got 30 minutes. We could spend hours talking about your incredible life, your incredible story, this amazing book. We're going to jump right into the deep end of the pool. Can you please describe for us one major moment in your life when you had to make the choice between prioritizing you and prioritizing your wonderful children?
Yes, I mean, the first thing you need to know about me is my kids are my everything. And, you know, I used to put them on a pedestal and do everything I could for them before myself. But that's when my entire life fell apart. And that's the reason behind writing this book, Selfish is a Superpower, because the moment I realized I needed to put myself first was this cold winter day in the beginning of December 2021, where I got this phone call like, can you make it to this event in Texas? And it was someone who had inspired me to write my very first book and who was actually like pushing me along the way in my journey. And I thought to myself, well, it's Monday and you want me to show up on Friday across the country? Like, I'm a single mom of two kids. Like, how am I going to pull that off?
My goodness.
But the words coming out of my mouth were yes. And I said it before I thought about it. And I'm a big believer in gut instincts. So I was like, oh my God, I just said yes. I hang up the phone and I'm sitting on my floor and I'm like, I just said yes, but I have no flight, no hotel, no babysitter, no nothing. How am I going to break it to my kids that I'm leaving them? Like, they're going to feel abandoned. They're going to feel upset. But something inside me was like, you have to do this for you. And that was the real first moment that I made a conscious choice to do something for me that I couldn't quite explain. And I wasn't exactly sure how it was going to benefit me and my daughters, but something inside of me was like, if you do this, you will change your life. And that was the first moment that I got selfish.
That is amazing, certainly. Now, you certainly think selfish is a superpower is a message parents need to hear right now. Share with us more about your thought process on this, please, Jessica.
I am sick of selfishness getting a bad rap, and I'm basically set out to change and redefine the way that we think about selfish, because just like everything else, it's a tool that we can use in order to make our lives better. And just like every other tool, overuse of selfishness is a bad thing. But guess what, guys? So is overuse of selflessness. And I'm kind of tired of parents overusing their selflessness card. Like, oh, I did it for the kids. And oh, I'm going to put myself aside for the kids. I was guilty of that too. So I say this with love. What are we teaching our children when we put ourselves last every single day? We are inadvertently teaching them that a mediocre life is okay, that feeling blah is okay, that being put last as a priority is okay every day, day in and day out. And I know that parents out there, they don't want to teach their kids that, but we all know kids are not going to listen to what we say. If we say, go out and have a happy life, go out and get your dreams, that's great lip service, but they see us not doing that, not going out and getting happy, not going out to reach for the dreams. And so they will, by default, learn to not go and do that for themselves. So I'm trying to show parents, especially, and this doesn't just apply to parents, everyone should be doing this. The more you tune into what you need and give yourself what you need, the happier you show up to everything you do. So that improves your work life. That improves your relationship with your spouse or your significant other. It improves your relationship with your children, and it makes everyone collectively have a higher vibe life. And I think that's what we're all striving for.
It really makes perfect sense, no doubt about it. Now, I get a real sense from the book and even what just you said earlier this morning, you're really close with your lovely daughters. What was their reaction? Did they have a reaction when you started taking a little more time for yourself?
They did. And it's not the reaction that I expected or that you may expect to hear. But because it's just the three of us, we are very, very close. And I choose honesty with them. Now, I'm not saying like I tell them every little thing, but in this moment when I was choosing me for the very first time, I sat down with them and had a conversation about my gut feeling that this was going to be great for all of us, even though I couldn't explain it. And I got to tell you, in my mind, I thought they're going to hate me. They're going to feel abandoned. I'm not going to be the kind of mom that they deserve. Like I thought about all that stuff, right? And I thought for sure that they would feel some type of way, and they did, but it was actually supportive. They said to me, we trust you, mommy. And if you think this is best for our family, we trust you. Like we're going to miss you, but we're going to be cheering you on. And so like you support us, we're going to support you. And I was so touched by that. It made me try even harder to make them proud. And over the course of the year that followed, and I detail this in the book, everything I thought would happen that was catastrophic, none of that happened. Instead, what happened is my kids saw me going for big, scary dreams and actually accomplishing some of them. And they started to follow in my footsteps and kind of take chances of their own. They kind of took risks at school and socially on being more of who they are and owning that. And that was the beautiful fallout of the thing I thought would be the worst, being selfish. It ended up making our family stronger and more confident.
Oh, that is so beautiful. Now, just context for the listeners and me, when you went to Texas, what ages were your daughters at that time, or roughly?
Yes, they were, oh my God. So that was 3 years ago. So they were 8 and 6.
Oh, pretty wow. Young. Okay. So they're much young then. Wow. That's amazing. Yeah. Certainly. And that they came around to support you in this. Your support of them resulted in this. Wow. Oh, that's amazing. Certainly. Now, I know, Jessica, for myself, and so many others tell me this, that self-talk is really important. Has your self-talk changed since you learned to use selfish as a superpower? And if so, how, please?
Yes, absolutely. And I'm not going to give you the run-of-the-mill answer. Like, we all know positive self-talk versus negative self-talk. But here's what I learned that's a nuance in between. There's things that we say each and every day that are kind of, we think are neutral, but really they're disempowering. And for example, sometimes we say, oh, today I have to pick up my kid at blah, blah, blah time, right? I have to do it implies you don't have a choice, which is disempowering, right? It doesn't show that you have control over your life and everything that you do, when in reality you do. You can choose to pick up your child or not pick up your child, right? And you have to deal with the fallout of that. So small changes like, today, I prioritize picking up my child at school over taking that phone call or over going to get my nails done, right? Wow. It's an empowering statement because subconsciously it shows us that we actually choose every single thing we do every single day. And because we make those choices, we get to change the course of our life for the better or for the worse. So I think it's really important to get down in the nitty gritty. It's not just about like positive affirmations. It's the negative things you say, or even the semi-neutral things you say that take away your self-power. And you got to try to take that back ASAP. And so that's something I've been learning to do. And this especially comes into play with priorities. Like if someone says to me, oh, did you get to XYZ yet? I'll say, no, I chose not to prioritize that today. And I leave it at that. Because the truth is, I could do 6 million things a day. I get to choose which of those things are, right? I get to choose if I'm going to like lay on the couch and watch TV or if I'm going to go, you know, hard at the paint and take Yeah. everything that I need, do everything I need to do. So just small changes like that have made a real big difference in my daily life.
Yeah, this is really amazing because you said a word before, control. And I would think a single mother of two daughters, young daughters, would have 99% of her life that's not in her control. But if I hear what you're saying you and countless others, maybe all of us, we have a lot we can control. Yeah. Share with us more about this, please.
I think this is a really important message, and thank you for picking up on that, because really we do control way more than we think. And a lot of times our depression and our hopelessness comes from this thought that everything is out of our control. And so when we feel that pressure and, you know, kind of floating in the ether, we feel helpless and then we can't turn our life around. So it's more important to think about the things that we can control. And there's tons of stuff that we can't, and that's fine, but let's just focus on the things that are within our control, not just our reactions to things, because of course, everybody says that, right? You can control how you react, but you can also control what you choose to prioritize. And I can say as a single mom, one of the first things that happened was my universe shrunk. The people that I would talk to daily shrunk. The people that I would spend my time on and time with shrunk because I had so much less time on my hands, right? Like I had to do what two parents were doing with one person. So I really had to be picky about who was going to get this time from me because time is precious and it's the one commodity we can't get more of. So I really sat down then and thought my kids are going to get, you know, 60% of everything. Work is going to get 20%. I'm going to give myself 10%. And so who's that other 10% going to? Like, it better be someone good. It better be people that light me up, or people that are encouraging, people that care about me and what I'm accomplishing or what I'm trying to do, people with a vested interest in who I am and, you know, my self-development and a two-way street. It really started making my choices easier, actually, because I had so much less time on my hands, if that makes sense.
It certainly did. What I find fascinating, if I'm hearing correctly, there are some people, I don't mean to be curt, but it sounds like you almost eliminated from your life or chose not to spend a whole lot of time with. Were some of these people maybe even a bit of a negative influence on you, and it was addition by subtraction, maybe? I don't know if you discovered that at all.
I actually did. What I discovered even more, though, was like there were some people who I was doing way more for than what I was receiving in return. And so when I was really low and depressed about my divorce, I couldn't help anybody else because I could barely help myself. And it became very clear to me, the people who kept coming to the friendship or relationship because they needed me. And I was giving, giving, giving. And when I had nothing to give and I kind of needed someone to be there for me, they couldn't do it. And it became clear to me, those relationships right away. And I did let those go because I just didn't have the mental capacity for it at the time.
Sure. Oh, that makes perfect sense. You may have answered this partially, but I'm going to ask it anyhow. Is there one way, an example, and you've given a couple already, but another way maybe that you get selfish each and every day, Jessica?
Yes, there's a couple of ways. My secret sauce is twofold. In my mornings are for me. And I learned this early on once I became a single parent, that waking up before my children was essential, even if it's just a half an hour. I had to wake up earlier than them so I could think straight, like just some quiet time to really like get my thoughts together and not have to answer to someone immediately. I don't touch my phone. I don't answer calls or texts or emails. I take that time for me and I kind of let it flow. Like sometimes I work out first, I meditate, then I sit down with my coffee and I read a little bit. Sometimes I just straight up want to just read and have coffee and I don't feel like working out, right? Like that, but there's always that quiet time in the morning. And then each and every day I make sure that I make time for fun. And fun can be different. Like fun can be me going to the beach all day and taking off from work, or fun could be just me going for a walk outside for 20 minutes. But each and every day, I make sure that I create time for that because that helps you A, be happier, but also gives you time to just let your creative juices flow. So if you own a company like I do, you have to stay creative. You have to stay enthusiastic. And so taking those moments of fun to remember the things that you love, like one night a week, I play volleyball, for example, it kind of makes me feel like I'm in high school again, you know, and like, taking that time to reconnect to my young energy is really important.
Oh, that is absolutely awesome. Now, it's no surprise that you have an incredible number of followers on your social media pages. What is it about your messaging that just resonates and draws so many people to your social media, Jessica?
If I had a guess, I think what people like about me the most, what I hear in feedback, is they just like how real I am. You know, like I get on, I do a lot of lives, I write my own posts, and I just kind of like go raw from the heart. And you'll see me in all levels. Like you'll see me all done up with my hair and makeup done. You'll see me with no makeup on. You'll see me working out with my hair a mess, and you'll see me all dolled up. You'll see me when I'm feeling crummy. I'll still post pictures of myself. I'll post about my struggles. I'll post about my wins. You get the whole 360 view with me. I'm not just there to share the good stuff. And I think that's not something a lot of people do nowadays.
If I perceive correctly, you look at social media, it's all the high points.
Yeah.
You are really showing, as you say, the highs, but also the lows, the chat. That has got to be so refreshing. And that's why you have so many followers.
And it helps people root for you too, you know, because if you're always winning, people kind of get tired of it. But if they see you down in the muck being like, you know what, today I didn't feel like exercising, but here I am. I did 20 minutes. I'm over this. Like, I'm going to go like have a malted, like a milkshake or something. They're like, I can relate to that. And then when you're chugging along like that every day and then you finally have a win, people are like rooting for you because they see a little bit of themselves in you.
That is so wonderful. Now, if I perceive correctly, this great book of yours, The Selfish is a Superpower. There it is. There it is your second book. Is that right? You've written another book prior?
Yeah, my first book is called Pivot and Slay. It came out in 2021, and that's really about how I left my dream job on Wall Street to start my business while I was going through a divorce. And that's kind of the first come up. I thought it was my come up, but it turns out you have more than one. So I'm on my second one now, and that's what the second book is about, what happened after that.
What's your process for writing? I've written one book. It took many, many years. I don't know if I could ever do it again, but What's your secret? What's your process for doing this? It's amazing.
I write from the heart. I write from the heart. Like I make time for my first book and my second book. It was kind of the same thing. I just had this message to tell, and people kept saying that is something people need to hear. And so I just sat down and I'm like, okay, people need to hear this. Let me get it out. And I just let it all come out. I didn't organize it right away. I didn't like try to organize it as I went along. I just wrote from the heart and I let it get all on the paper. Once it's all out on the paper, and I kind of just do that until it's done. I don't stop to edit. I don't stop to organize. I just write it out until it's done. So the second time around, that took about a month and a half, 2 months.
Oh.
And then comes the time-consuming part where you have to read it all and be like, oh my God, that was blabbing. That's too much. TMI, reel it in. Where's the lesson? Teach them the lesson. And then you kind of organize it and you go through it and you make it have like a story that makes sense to someone who isn't in your brain. So that's the process. I really enjoy it though, because the first couple of months or weeks where you're just blurting it all out is so therapeutic. You learn so much about yourself. It's such a beautiful process. I really enjoy it.
Oh, that's great, great advice for myself and any others who may want to write a second book or especially a first book for our listeners out there. Now, you are someone, it is so evident from your writing, just these few minutes already we spent, you inspire people, Jessica. There's no doubt about it. But I'm curious, are there a couple of people from whom you draw inspiration at this point?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Well, my biggest inspiration, I talk about this a lot on social media, was Michael Strahan, because I'm a huge football fan. And
Oh.
when I was 13 years old, now when I think I was 11, actually, I moved from the Bronx to Connecticut, which was a huge culture shock for me. And right around that same time, Michael Strahan came out of nowhere and joined the New York Giants, where he spent
Oh.
his entire career. And I just loved watching him grow and evolve. And it gave me the courage to do the same because he's just so full of life. Like he's very serious, he's a very
Oh.
good athlete. But then you take him off the field and he's laughing and he's like making jokes and he's light and he's not taking himself so seriously. And that has continued throughout the life of his career. And from a woman's standpoint, it's hard sometimes to be able to be me and feel like I can also be taken seriously in the business world. And he kind of inspired me to make sure that I don't lose touch with that light, airy side of myself. And I just adore him. And I can't say enough good things about him. And I actually put a post out about this in February, and he hopped on a Zoom call with me after seeing that post. And I got to meet my childhood
Oh
hero,
my
which is pretty
gosh,
cool.
isn't that awesome? No doubt about that. We could talk all day, Jessica. Believe it or not, we've only got about 6 minutes, but I still have some important questions to ask you. It's so interesting what I find talking with you, reading this book. You are so consistent. What drives you to stay so consistent, whether it's with diet, exercise, work, play? What drives this consistency? What's the secret?
The secret is I feel good. And I do what makes me feel good. And that has a lot to do with having the courage and confidence to understand yourself and prioritize what you need, even though it might not be convenient, even though it might not make sense. And so throughout, and I do this in baby steps, right? Like the first couple of years, it was like I couldn't clear my head. I was so depressed from my divorce, dealing with
Sure.
a lot, becoming a single mom. And I just needed to prioritize me thinking, and I had to get away. And I started to do yoga, right? Like that's how it started. And then now, because I feel so great after I exercise, or I feel so great when I choose something healthy versus something unhealthy, that feeling is what motivates me to do it again the next day. I know that if I wake up and I'm lazy all morning and I eat like garbage, I will feel that way. And the same goes with work. Like when I'm feeling inspired, I'm going to wake up and do what I have to do to get all of that creativity out on the page or out in the world. And when I'm feeling kind of mellow and like I need to recharge, I allow myself that time too. So the consistency comes from really understanding who you are at your core and what you need, and giving yourself permission to give yourself what you need in the moment.
Your wisdom at such a young age, Jessica, so far beyond your young years. It really is amazing. I'm learning so much today. I know our listeners are as well. Now, you've alluded to this, that yes, you feel confident a lot, really feel good many days, but some days you have a bit of a tough time. Those tough days, there are a couple of things you do to either pull yourself up, pull yourself out.
So I used to be a lawyer. I always like to say I'm a recovering lawyer because I technically am a lawyer, but I don't practice.
Oh, wow.
But in this situation, we're going to go back to my roots of law. When I'm feeling down, I say, Jessica, just stop and look at the evidence. All right. I turn around and for a moment in time, because I don't like to dwell on the past, but for a moment in time, I look at my track record and I'm like, every time I doubted myself, what happened? Every time I inspired myself and encouraged myself, what happened? Look at all the stuff you've done. Yes, your dreams sound crazy right now. Your goals sound crazy and you're scared. But look at all the evidence of what you've accomplished thus far and the times it went right. Now, if you don't have a long track record of being positive, that's okay. You only need one moment in time to refer back to where you did the thing that you set out to do and it worked out right. That's all you need to get the confidence to steer the course, because we all know things don't happen overnight. Like, you got to work hard at them. And sometimes you plant a seed and you don't see it sprout for a little bit. But it doesn't mean it's not working. And we just need to look back and remember about the times that we've succeeded in the past.
Wow. Thank you so much for that. Because sometimes even today, I have a tendency, and maybe our listeners do as well, where you're faced with something or things are going a bit rocky. And I'll look back on my failures and I'll say, gee, you know, I tried this, but it hasn't worked or whatever. You can't do this. And then you move on to something else. But how brilliant that is to look back on the success. I've been here before. I can do this.
And if your brain goes to the negative, because that's, I started out that way too. No shame in that. Think about this. There's two outcomes to every decision you ever made. You either won, yay, or you learned. Win or learn. If you look back on and your brain goes to something negative, think about the lesson you extracted from there and then realize that lesson helped you get to where you are now. And so now you've turned a negative thought into a positive thought.
Wow. So it's not winning or losing, it's winning or learning.
Yep.
I've got to remember that, and our listeners as well. Jessica, we've saved the most important question for last. From where can our loyal listeners purchase Selfish as a Superpower? How can they best follow you, please?
Oh, I am on all the social media sites as The Jessica Dennehy. So Instagram is where I'm most active, but I'm also Facebook, TikTok, LinkedIn, all of that. You can purchase my book right now. It's available for pre-order, and that's really important in hitting my goal of the New York Times bestseller list. So please go pre-order a copy at jessicadennehy.com or on barnesandnoble.com.
Listeners, I want to make sure you have the spelling of Jessica's name. It's Jessica, J-E-S-S-I-C-A, Dennehy, D-E-N-N-E-H-Y. Jessica is a tremendous Franciscan. She could have held on all this good of inside herself. No, she wrote from the heart. She shared her greatness. Now it's your turn. Get out there, pre-order one of these, pre-order more than one, one for yourself and at least one for someone else. Maybe a spouse, maybe a child, maybe somebody you work with. This book has changed my life. The last 30 minutes have changed my life. This can transform yours as well. Please, please, please get out there. Get this great book. And also, Jessica, she's all over the place. Follow her as well on all the social media. Your life will be better. Our workplace and our world will be better as a result. Jessica Dennehy, we can't thank you enough for gracing our airwaves today. We've been enlightened, but I tell you, a heck of a lot more inspired. Continue.
Thank you so much for having me.
Contributions. Really been a pleasure.
Thank
Listeners,
you.
Listeners, guess what? Once again, we're out of time. Greg saying our hope and prayer is that When you wake up on Monday morning, just like Jessica does, you'll say, thank God for Monday. Until next week's episode, have a great week, everyone. Bye-bye.